you must fix it. When you must fix it. Looked at some headlines yesterday. A lot of sad ones out there. A lot of sad headlines. I did notice UK News says, get married and do your best to stay married. Feminist provides the most vital piece of advice she could offer young women. Feminist. So anybody saying I'm getting tired of listening to that fundamentalist stuff, hey, we're just scratching the surface. These are ex-feminists, or still people that are still feminist, agreeing with the Bible. But we got other things to preach on today. Please stand with me. As we study, when you must fix it. When you must fix it. And my own brother. Our text is Daniel chapter 8. Let's read a little bit of chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, please, if you could see it. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice, by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. You may be seated. Dear Holy, Holy, Holy Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that you preserved. Now help me preach it right, Lord, but give me good ground to preach upon, Father. Go with the Word, with your Spirit, and open eyes and bring conviction and help us to change and love you and glorify you. Root out all flesh, wickedness, immaturity. Help us, Lord, to grow up in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have quite a mouthful here. Book of Daniel, prophetic book. It's about the changing of empires. And ultimately, it's about the last days and a man that is going to come and a wicked man, the most wicked of all, and rule the world. But the Lord Jesus is going to take him out and fix everything, and then he's going to come and bring peace to this earth. Wow. So we have a horn. Out of one of them came forth a little horn. That means a king. A king is going to arise. It's not too complicated. A horn is just a king. So a king is going to arise. He will overpower Israel. Which means when this comes to pass, you have to have an Israel that's there. Well, hey, Israel's been there 75 years almost. So we are right on time, aren't we? We're right on time. So there's going to be a temple there when he finally comes to power, a temple in Israel. And there will be daily sacrifices that will be taking place there, animal sacrifices. There'll be a conservative revival in Israel to some degree. And they will get their right to start animal sacrifices again. Because remember, the conservative Jew doesn't believe the Messiah has come yet. And well, we learned that this man is going to cause these sacrifices to cease. And he's going to turn against those conservative Jews. But not only that, he is going to bring the worst persecution of Christians and anybody that does not do his will that the world has ever seen in the history of mankind. Now, this is drawing near. This time, when this man is allowed to take power of a world government, it's coming. Now, I used to wonder what these words fully meant, where it says, it is the little horn, the king, this king, cast down the truth to the ground. It says in the New Testament, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. You better believe he's going to cast down the truth to the ground. But notice this, and it, after a semicolon, and it practiced and prospered. I used to think amen. And it's amen no matter what, because it's in the Word of God. God's going to fix it. But I've always wondered what the it referred to. Whether it referred to this horn practicing and prospering, or if it referred to the truth that's been cast down to the ground practicing and prospering. Now, we know the first it, cast down the truth, is this king, which the Bible calls the Antichrist. But it's this second it that I've wondered about. Is it the little horn that will prosper, or is it the truth that will prosper? Now, this is a situation where we see from other verses in the Bible that both appear to be true on first sight. I'm going to deal today with the fact that you cast down the truth, you're not going to stop it. You can lie, you can steal, you can cheat, but you're not going to stop the truth from coming out. You're not going to stop the Lord Jesus. You're not going to stop what he intends to do upon this earth. You're not going to stop his program. You're not going to stop it. So that is in the Bible. Truth sooner or later will rise again. It will prevail. But listen to me, Church of God. It's also true that sometimes, just for a little while, evil and evil people are permitted to practice and prosper. So at first sight, we have a situation where it appears that the latter phrase could apply to the truth as well as to the Antichrist. However, when you study just a little closer, you find that the word practice, today we say he practiced his instrument. The word practice in Scripture is never really used in a good light. See, that helps you. Word studies help you to kind of get an idea of where things are going and in Bible interpretation. The word practice in Scripture is used for a synonym of the word plot. He plotted against God. He practiced against God. It means to sit back and plot wicked plans, and to practice can include not just the plotting, but the carrying out of your conspiracies. So, in this light, what we're seeing is the Antichrist is going to be the king of conspiracies. And he's going to carry out for a time his conspiracy. His conspiracy against God's people. His conspiracy against God. Let me show you. 1 Samuel 23, David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. Practiced. He plotted it. Psalms 37, the wicked plotteth against the just. Our King James translators in their notes say, or you could say, they practiced against. And you go back to older dictionaries and you find out that practice used to be a synonym somewhat for plot, for plot. And I do believe that that is the sense that it's used here. The Antichrist, the little horn, will practice and prosper. He will conspire and carry out his conspiracies against God's people, and he will prosper. Wow. You'll find this in the Oxford English Dictionary. To practice means to lay schemes or plans, especially for an evil purpose. To scheme, plot, conspire. They quote an old history line that says, he fell to plotting and practicing with the rebels. Meaning carrying out your conspiracy. Now, at later periods, we know the word can apply to exercising or carrying out things in a good way. But in our English Bible at the time, it is used to plot in a wicked way. So right now we understand with that evidence that the Antichrist will cast down the truth to the ground. And it, the little horn, the Antichrist, will practice and prosper. But we have something that's even stronger than this now. How about an interpretation from God Himself to what that vision just referred to? It says in Daniel 8:12, a host was given him against the daily sacrifice, that's of the Jews, by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered, the little horn. And it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. It was an angel. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Wow. You know what that tells me? That tells me much of this is about to occur and is still future to us. Wow. The New Testament, centuries after Daniel wrote that, said the Antichrist is coming. Antichrist will come. When is he going to come? Verse 23, when the transgressors are come to the full. What do you see going on around you right now? You see sinners and their cup is filling up. They are, how far are you going to go? How much further can you go in your society till you hit bottom? God says, cup is full. When it gets to a full cup, you're almost there, Church of God. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Talk about the king of conspiracies. And he shall destroy wonderfully. Wonderfully doesn't mean in a good way. It means that you'll just gasp and wonder, how can this be? So much death. And shall prosper and practice. Ah, now we know who's prospering and practicing. And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Well, there we have it. The Antichrist gets to prosper. He gets to practice and plot and scheme. And he gets to carry out some of his schemes. In fact, I'd say this. Evil people and evil itself will practice and prosper in the world. It's sad. It's discouraging. It can even tempt you to slip up in your Christian walk. But listen to me, Church of God, you must face the reality. Evil people who lie, who scheme, who steal, who cheat, can sometimes get ahead by such means. And they can do a lot of damage. Do you remember when Jezebel told Ahab, is there not a king around here? I'll take care of it. Little she-man, witch that she was. And Jezebel went out and got somebody and said, hey, accuse this man of blasphemy. We'll get the vineyard. Hey, the vineyard's a picture of the family in the Bible. We'll get it. We'll steal it. So they put the man up and they accused him, and false witnesses came and said, yes, we heard this man blaspheme. So they took him out and killed him and stole his vineyard. You just look at that in the Word of God saying, how did that happen? Because somebody lied? Because somebody cheated? Because somebody falsely accused? You can get ahead by lying. You can get ahead sometimes by cheating and stealing and falsely accusing. You can do a lot of damage to good people. And the Antichrist, the wicked king, the ultimate of all wicked kings. He will practice and prosper. He will carry out some of his schemes and actually prosper in them. Church of God, if you don't understand this first point, you're going to have a hard time in your Christian walk. You're going to have a hard time out here in the world. You're going to have a hard time in your church. You're going to have a hard time. If you don't understand that sometimes wicked people can get ahead and do a lot of damage by lying and cheating, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble understanding that some teenage punk can go into a school and kill a lot of innocent children. You're going to have trouble understanding that in America, how such a thing could even be. There's people around the world right now just with their mouths open and they're just saying, I don't understand. Where's God? See, if you don't understand that evil can temporarily get ahead by lying and cheating and all kinds of evil, you're going to have problems, Church of God. I'm going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. And I'll tell you this, the more righteous you are, the more you'll likely see it and feel it. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do not underestimate this reality, or you're going to be shocked. You're going to be confused. You're going to feel betrayed by God. You're going to feel forsaken. You're going to get resentful and bitter. The Bible never, ever tones down what I'm telling you right now, that people can sometimes get ahead and hurt you by lying, stealing, cheating, betraying. Don't ever underestimate that. The Bible never underestimates it. You know what the Bible tells you to do? Listen to me. The Bible tells you how to deal with it. The Bible tells you how to deal with this reality. First of all, you pray, God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what that means? It means, God, will you rule the earth like you're ruling heaven right now? Will you come and quit letting evil temporarily get ahead? God, we know you're in control right now, but the way you're ruling things right now, we know is only temporary. Will you please come and fix everything and rule this earth like you're presently ruling heaven? Quit letting evil temporarily get ahead. So the Bible tells you how to deal with it right now. First, it says in Philippians, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. How about that? Hey, I can cheat and lie and get ahead and hurt you bad. You don't scare me. You don't scare me. You don't scare me. There's a reason why you don't scare me. And I'll get to it in just a second. But the Bible commands you, don't be afraid. Look them in the eye and say, rage all you want to do. Go ahead. All the devils of hell, rage. You're not scaring me. That's hard. That's hard. Until you get your mind straight, see. But God commands you, don't be terrified by them. Don't be terrified. It's going to get real scary out there. It's going to look like everything is just out of control. In some ways it is. But God's on the throne. Don't let him scare you. Don't let him scare you. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, you're not to look at that thing and say, how could this happen? This is strange. You're to say, what did you expect? What did you expect in this evil world? No, that's not out of the ordinary. What's out of the ordinary is that we've gone so long without evil people being to afflict you and persecute you. That's the strange thing in this evil world. It's not strange that you go through a fiery trial. Don't be afraid of it. Don't think it's strange. It's pretty normal right now. It's normal until Jesus comes back, okay? It's normal until Jesus comes back. But listen, it can affect you. It can affect you. You see your brother going through a trial. You see your sister being assaulted by evil people. I tell you what, you start feeling yourself being hurt and persecuted by evil people. Oh man, it can be strange. You can feel neglected and betrayed. I tell you, you can start getting bitter. It says in Psalm 73, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. He's talking about his Christian walk. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. How can they lie and get ahead, says the psalmist? How can they cheat and end up prospering in their cheating and lying, says the psalmist? The psalmist was saying, I quit, or I'm about to quit. I'm about to give up, says the psalmist. I'm about to go join them. And praise God, he never did. Praise God, he said, but if I walk away now, if I walk away now, what would it do to other people? What would it do to young people? They'll look at me and say, he quit. Man, I might as well quit. So a young Christian brother or sister says, you mean people can actually get ahead by lying or stealing? Yes, that's my partial answer. Yes, yes. Well, doesn't God exist? Doesn't he see? Why does he allow this? My first answer is he doesn't always allow it. There's a lot of people that get out here and they try to steal, and boom, they get cut down immediately. They lie, boom, God cuts them down immediately. There's times when they think they're going to get ahead and they say, well, everybody else is prospering by lying, I'm going to go lie. And boom, they're cut down immediately. God says, I don't let them all get away with it. Oh, my other answer is this. God doesn't let any of them get away with it permanently. Oh, I tell you. He uses some of their wicked designs for his higher purposes. Isn't that amazing? How can such a thing be? He uses some of their wicked schemes, and they don't even realize it, but they end up working for God in the big picture. Isn't God amazing? I don't understand how that always works out. Listen, there's some things you say, how can God bring good out of this? And I don't know. I don't understand it yet. But, you know, we see through a glass darkly, and one day we'll be able to get all these answers, and we'll see how that all worked out for good. Remember Joseph, you know, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So sometimes we can see this work out in our own life. You know what God does? Sometimes he allows evil people to prosper in their lying and scheming for his higher purposes, to exercise the faith of the righteous, to see if the righteous will trust him, to see if they will keep serving him. He does it for his own glory. Sometimes he does it to show his power. Listen to me, listen, Church of God. Sometimes he allows them to get ahead by lying and stealing and cheating, to fatten them up for the slaughter. You say, God, why aren't you cutting them down? Why aren't you stopping this wickedness and lying? God says, stop, stop, oh, back up. Do you see them rejoicing and high-fiving one another? Do you see them all dancing around? I'm fattening them up. Just let them jump around a little while. God says, I'm waiting for the cup to get full. I'm ripening them for judgment, says God. Not only that, I'm giving them the opportunity to do right. Nobody's going to be able to say I didn't give them a chance to repent. Even right now, at the very last minute, before I unleash the fire, I'm waiting for them to say, I'm sorry, I should not have gone this way. Oh, God is long-suffering, isn't he? He doesn't want anybody to perish. He says they're getting close. They're getting close. I'm allowing them to triumph. I'm allowing them to rejoice in their prosperity that they gain by lying and false accusation and cheating. Oh, let's get back to that point I had. Let's get back to that point I gave you. God does allow evil schemes to prosper sometimes, but when he does, Church of God, it's only for a moment. Do you know God himself says it's only for a moment? God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing liars to get ahead by lying? God says, son, it's only for a moment. It's just a moment. It can seem like a long moment. It can seem like a long moment, but God says, it's just a moment. It's just a moment. Let's catch up with some scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It is a mystery of why God allows evil sometimes to do what it's doing. God says, it's just a moment. I'm going to use it. Don't worry. Surely, says the psalmist, the wrath of man shall praise thee. Let him go ahead. Let him go ahead. Let him build the gallows for Haman. I mean, for Mordecai. Let him build the gallows. Don't worry, says God. It'll praise me in the end because Haman's going to be hung on his own gallows. See, it's going to praise me. Let them work their wickedness. I'll turn it for good. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God doesn't let them all to get away with it, even temporarily. Listen to me, Psalm 73, 19. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Psalms 58, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth, these liars, as a snail which melteth. See, God doesn't put up with it. He doesn't keep putting up with it. He doesn't keep putting up with it. He doesn't keep putting up with it. Notice, Psalms 58, before your pots can fill the thorns, he shall take them away with a whirlwind. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Isn't that something? They have the pot all ready to go. They have the thorns under there. They have them lit. And you know what? You see the fire. You hear the thorns crackling. But then it's all gone in a whirlwind. You touch the pot and you say the pot didn't even get hot yet. Everything they planned to do, even though they had the thorns burning, the pot wasn't even hot yet. And God takes them away. That's how quick God judges. That's how quick God judges. It seems to us a long time because you see the fire and you hear the thorns crackling. But I tell you what, to God, he says it wasn't a long time at all. It wasn't a long time at all. And when you look back on it, you realize, you know what? It really wasn't all that long. Where did they go? The wicked was, and now they're not. I could give you a long list of people that was, and they were rejoicing, and they were high-fiving one another, but now they're not. Job says the triumphing of the wicked is short. The joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. Can God lie? He shall fly away as a dream. You ever had a bad dream? But you woke up like, well, that disappeared pretty quick. That was a terrible dream. You ever been in a dream? You said, now I have to be dreaming. Oh, I pray I'm dreaming right now. And you try to pinch yourself and you say, ah, I actually go through this sometimes. I'm like, come on, I hope this is a dream. I'll pinch myself in the dream and say, come on, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I'm like, oh, it's not a dream. Then all of a sudden I wake up. I'm like, wow, that was a mind trip. That was bad because I really tried to wake myself up out of that one. He shall fly away as a dream. Praise God. Hey, listen to this. That which he labored for shall he restore. You tell me that's not shouting right there. That which he labored for, that liar, he shall restore. Because he hath violently taken away a house which he builded not. Wow. When's it going to happen? God's told you over and over. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. The New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, we've got it made in the shade, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Let's summarize now what we found, Church of God. The wicked can sometimes get ahead by lying, by stealing, by cheating. Number two, this can cause much suffering to the righteous if God permits. But number three, the glorious number three, the triumphing of the wicked when it is allowed will be very short. Even the Antichrist, you know what? He's limited to 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? The worst evil that can ever manifest upon this earth, God says, I'm going to cut it short. It'll be 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Then you see the great judgments poured out upon the wicked. They're allowed to triumph, and then God pours judgments upon them. Now, this brings us to a glorious reality. God's truth, though resisted, though it was not the exact specific subject of Daniel 8, it was the overriding subject. And that is that though you cast down God's truth, it will indeed prosper. Oh, it will indeed rise. Who is called the truth in the Bible? Watch it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. And when you cast down the Lord Jesus to the ground and put him in the tomb, what did he do? What did he do after 3 days? He rose again. You cast down the truth to the ground and it rises. The word itself, the truth, rose again, though it was buried. Watch it. Psalms 85. Truth shall spring out of the earth. How did it get in the earth down there? What happened? What happened? Somebody tried to bury it. Somebody tried to bury it, but you can't bury the truth. Isn't that a blessing? You can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, you old liar. But I'm going to tell you one thing, the truth's got to come out. The truth will come out, and it will spring out of the earth. Psalms 117 says, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. If it endures forever, you can't stop it. You can't stop the truth. You can't hide the truth. You can't burn the truth. A king tried to take his penknife, cut it up, and throw it in the fire. God put it out again through Jeremiah. You cannot hide the truth. His words will not pass away. You cannot bury the truth. Wow. Notice right here in our chapter, Daniel 8, and through his policy, that's that wicked Antichrist, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken. He shall be broken. Isn't that beautiful? You know what God's saying? Is God said, let him go ahead and run his big mouth. Let him practice his witchcraft. Let him go ahead and deceive everybody. God says he'll be broken. He'll be broken in his rebellion. He'll be broken. It's not going to last long. What are you learning about truth, Church of God? What are you being reminded of? It's summed up in Isaiah 55. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. Aren't you glad the word of God prospers? Aren't you glad that though it's not the specific subject of Daniel 8, aren't you glad that it does prosper in the thing whereto I sent it? The truth will prosper. The truth will prosper because good people will pick it up and spread it around. Good people that aren't afraid of the devil. Good people that stand up with God's truth and speak it. And they have boldness to speak it and overcome evil with it. I'm going to tell you, the truth will prosper. Oh, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. Hey, it's not just God's truth, Church of God. Listen. Listen, the Lord says in Luke 12, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is neither hid that shall not be known. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. It's not talking about those things that are under the blood that you've confessed to, that God hides. And it's talking about the evil schemes, the conspiring, the scheming. Oh, it'll come out, folks. It will come out. It will come out. Certainly at the judgment seat of Christ, where every knee will bow, but a lot of times, it's right here in this world, God has it to come out. God exposes it. God exposes it. It doesn't stay buried long. It doesn't stay buried long. Isn't that something? The truth will not stay buried. It'll be exposed. It'll be punished. It will be defeated. So listen. Listen, Church of God, Micah 7, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Where'd the fall come from? The fall come from their evil schemes. The fall come from their wicked lies. But he says, when I fall, I shall arise. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Where is the Lord thy God? Where is the Lord thy God? The Lord Jesus said in John 16, the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Do you understand, Church of God? Listen to me. The world gets to clap their hands and rejoice and jump around and congratulate themselves. And you have to experience sorrow sometimes. But the promise of the Bible is your sorrow shall be turned to joy. But they're rejoicing. They don't get to keep it. They don't get to keep it. It's only for a what? It's only for a moment, Church of God. It's short. You just get to rejoice for a short time. It's just for a moment, like a dream, like a vapor going up, like a bubble rising, and then that bubble pops. Go ahead and rejoice. It's just going to be for a moment. What about Proverbs 24? For a just man falleth seven times. A just man can fall into sin, but I don't think that's what that means. A just man can fall because of the schemes of the wicked. You can knock him down seven times. They can conspire against him and lie and get ahead seven times. But guess what? Guess what? He rises up again. Every time they knock him down, he rises back up. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Period. You know why that period's there? Because they don't get back up. They don't get back up. You know why that period's there? They don't get back up. See, they don't get back up. You can sin against a righteous man. You can lie and cheat and steal against a righteous man. He'll get back up. He'll get back up. He'll be on top again. But when the wicked fall, they don't get back up. They don't get back up. Not for long. Not for long. I want to focus on one last point for you today. Oh, please listen here now. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, young man. You can't always stop the temporary designs of evil. Can't always stop it. But you are to try to expose it. You are to try to stop their designs. You are to try to hinder their wicked schemes in faith and in manliness. I hope you get this last point. You've already learned you can't always stop them. You've already learned that sometimes they get to prosper for a little while, but only for a little while. But what I want you to learn right now, you're not to take that truth and say, well, I'm just not going to care about anything anymore. God says it's only going to be for a little while. Just let them do whatever they want to do. Let them do whatever they want to do in my church. Let them do whatever they want to do in my family. Let them do whatever they want to do in my community. I'm just going to sit back. And you see Christians doing this. They got their soda pop. They got their Sonic milkshake. And they're saying, you know what? Just let it all. I don't care what they do. Forget it. It's all right. No, brother. No, that's not what you're to do. That's not what God meant. You're not to get yourself terrified and all in a fit and get yourself emotionally unstable. But who told you you're to sit on your butt? Is that in the Bible, Church of God? That you're to sit on your butt while evil continues all around you? No, that is not in the Bible. But God said at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be some that did sit on their butt. And he's going to say, you slothful servant. You unprofitable, slothful, wicked servant. Boy, I don't want those words. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't stop every evil. God just said I can't stop it. I can't stop every evil. But buddy, I'm going to try to get in the way of some of it. Amen? I'm going to do everything I can to get in the way of something. I'm going to try to stop it. I'm going to hinder the devil wherever I can. And some old scholar will look at you and say, well, you can't stop the Antichrist from coming. It says it's given unto him. Boy, I don't know where you got messed up. You must have went to seminary and got so messed up in your head like that, fella. Yeah. What does it take to get... I tell you, the grandma sitting over here in her rocking chair has more wisdom than you about the Bible. Where in the world? No, we're not going to stop the Antichrist. But you ought to go get in his way. Yeah. What in the world? I don't understand people sometimes. 2 Thessalonians 2, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that word let means to hinder. It's old English for get in the way. Only he who now gets in the way will get in the way until he be taken out of the way. You know who that he is? It's any Christian that fulfills it. He that soweth to the flesh. He that worketh righteousness. Any Christian that gets in the way of the devil, pretty soon here, God's going to look down and say, you know what? The cup's almost full. I tell you what, you Christians that are in the way of the devil, I'm going to take you up here with me I'm going to save you from the strife of tongues because I got to get you out of here because I'm going to let evil just go all over the earth. I'm going to let it loose. I'm going to let the floodgates loose. And I got to get you out of here because if I don't get you out of here, you'll get in the way of it. You'll get in the way of it. I want to judge this world. I'm going to judge it with evil. And I got to get you out of here, man, because you won't sit back and allow. You'll sit here and scream and you'll jump up and down and you'll expose it. I got to get you out of here. Enoch walked with God. He was taken. He was taken. You know what he was doing? He's preaching his heart out, buddy. Jude says he was going up and down, says, you ungodly murmurers, you ungodly complainers, you ungodly everywhere, you're going to be judged. And all of a sudden he was walking with God and he was preaching and he was preaching. Next thing you know, where am I at? God said, you were down there preaching. You were preaching to everybody. I took you out of there. The flood's coming. I'm not always going to strive with man. I took you out, Enoch. You did a good job, though. You did a good job. I think that's what he told him. See, the Pharisees and scribes, they said, you know what? You're to love your neighbors, but hate your enemies. They had ignored the Old Testament teachings that sometimes you got to be patient with wicked people. Sometimes, you know, you got to wait on the Lord. You can't carry out your personal revenge, you know. David walked and a man was blaspheming and slandering, you know, and his servant said, you want me to take his head off? David says, nah, maybe God will bless me. Just let him sit there and run his mouth. Let him run his mouth. Sometimes you just got to overlook the raging of the wicked, you know. Listen to me. Listen to me. You got to get in the way of their designs and hurting people. But sometimes in regard to your own personal offenses that don't affect your children, they don't affect your brothers and sisters around you. It just affects your pride. A lot of that stuff, you can say, you know, water off a duck's back. Just go ahead and run your mouth. You're not hurting me. You're not hurting me. Maybe God will bless me for you running your big mouth. Remember Isaac sometimes. He would dig a well in a strange land, and then they would come and steal it. Sometimes, you know, you just walk away from evil people. You know, God's going to bless me. I'll go dig another well. I'm not saying you do that all the time in every situation, but there's a lot of things out here you can just walk away from. That's what the Lord meant by turn the other cheek. When the Lord said, resist not evil, he did not mean that you just allow them to kill babies down the road at the abortion clinic and you never say a word about it. He didn't mean that you just turn your eyes and close your eyes to all the evil around you and you never try to stop any evil whatsoever. That's not what the Lord said. That's not what the Lord meant. So now you got a bunch of Christians enabling sin everywhere. Just enabling sin. Who taught them to interpret the Bible that way? The devil did. Remember, the devil comes to give you scripture and confuse the scripture in your mind. So you think, well, I'm not to resist evil. I'm just going to let it go ahead. The devil taught you that scripture. The devil interpreted it that way for you. Listen, Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather ignore them. Is that what it said? Ignore them. No, but rather reprove them. You get out there and start reproving it, boy, it's going to make a lot of Christians uncomfortable. You're making us uncomfortable. No, we're making you look bad. See, it's convicting you because you're lazy, because you don't want to get involved, because you're not reproving it. And so you don't want anybody else to reprove it. What about this verse? Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know what that means? It means the way that sinners go, you don't go. If they're going to go steal, don't you go their way. If they're going to have fornication and adultery, don't you go their way. If they're going to cheat and lie, don't you go their way. Don't stand in the way they're going. Wake up, amen. Church of God, listen. Don't stand in their way. You know what one fellow said to me? He goes, well, I just don't do all those things in regard to evil. I just go my own way. I said, well, why? Where do you get that in the Bible, that you're not to try to do good? He said, the Bible says don't stand in the way of sinners, so I just let them do whatever they want to do. The devil taught you to interpret the Bible that way. The devil did that. The same devil that tried to go to Jesus and say, remember the scripture says he'll send his angels, have charge over you, so you'll never hurt yourself, so just jump off the temple. Just jump off. The devil taught them to interpret it that way. The devil said, hey, it says right here, don't stand in the way of sinners. So just let them do whatever they want. Don't even protest. You can't stop all evil, folks. Can't you protest it? Don't you got a First Amendment right? Don't you got a God-given right to protest evil? To tell people don't do what you're doing? You better believe you do. You better believe you do. Romans 12 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That doesn't sound like you ignore evil. The Bible said, now listen, it's going to be hard, but listen, when they get out here and cheat and steal and lie, you're going to be tempted to say, well, how about I lie against you? Yo, buzzard, how about I start lying about you? No, you can't do that. No, we can overcome. That means get victory over it. That's a war word. But you got to do it in a good way. Sometimes in regard to personal pride, that means if they're sick and in a ditch, you go over and help them out the ditch. But good means a lot of things in the Bible. Sometimes it means if you see a girl getting hurt and beat up and raped by somebody, you go over there and pull him off and do whatever business you have to do. That's good. You understand that? That's good. You overcome evil with goodness. You overcome evil with goodness. You get in the way of it. You stop it. You expose it. You do everything you can. The only rule is you make sure you're being obedient to God when you do it. You make sure you're being good. That doesn't say ignore evil. That doesn't say ignore evil. You're out of your mind. That doesn't say just let them do whatever they want. Sometimes being good in the Bible means to deliver those who are being molested, harmed, and hurt. Deliver them in holy ways. Okay, now here, church. Young people, don't drift away on me. I wish I had a cell phone or something you could hold and play with so you can stay attention, pay attention. You get insecure and nervous. Listen to me, not you. You're good children. You're good children. Listen to me. Sometimes God wants you to stand up. And what you're going to be thinking is, what can I do? What can I do? There's nothing I can do about it. And that's how you're going to feel. And God doesn't want you to do something that you can't do. But you got to understand something. With God, you would not believe what you could do if you just tried. And number two, all God ever expects is that you do what you can. That you do what you can. You said, I did what I could. I did what I could. Did you try to stop it? Yeah. Did you succeed? I did what I could. I did what I could. And you young people, old people, everybody, God just wants you to grab a hold of His hand and do what you can. And you would not believe what He can accomplish through you. If you'll say, I'm a wielded vessel, God, I'm going to be full of faith, help thou my unbelief, and I'm going to step out and get in the way of this. Oh, it's amazing what you could do. It's amazing. You are not to be passive in situations like a Hindu. You know what people do? They say, well, this is a bad situation, but I'm just going to go with the flow. It must be God's will. What makes you think it's God's will? Well, it's happening. What makes you think it's not God's will for you to do something about it? Who told you it's God's will for you to go with the flow? Well, you just preached last week, preacher, on that God sometimes has restraining grace, restraining mercy. He pulled Lot right out of Sodom with his family because they were lingering. If God wants me to do something, He'll just grab a hold of me and make me do it. Do not presume on God's restraining mercy. Do not presume on God's restraining mercy. Do you understand that yes, God pulled them out? Yes, God pulled them out. But he also killed one of them for looking back a few minutes later. No. You do what you can. And you ask yourself this question. Is there anything I can do right now to stop evil? Is there anything I can do right now to expose and hinder and just get in the way of an evil design? And you know what? That's not unloving toward evil people. That's loving. Because there's a lot of people that will repent later and say, thank you for getting in the way. Thank you for doing what you could to hinder me. There's no telling. Remember when David had an evil design because he was so mad, his pride was hurt? They said, who's David? He's probably some servant that, you know, oh, that hurt David's pride. Everybody knew David slew Goliath. Everybody knew David. Everybody had heard he's going to be the king. They heard what Samuel had said. They knew about the anointing. And I tell you, this old Nabal says, I wonder who this David is. Probably some slave who escaped. Oh, David was mad. He was under a lot of stress. And I tell you what, he was so full of rage, he was going to murder everybody that was a male on that farm. And Abigail came out. And Abigail was bold enough to come out and stop him. You know what Abigail could have said? What can I do? What can I do? There's nothing I can do about it. No, she didn't say that. She made haste. The Bible says Abigail went out and said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do what I can. And she threw herself at David's feet and began to preach to him in a delicate feminine way. But she preached some hard words. You're going to regret this. You're going to regret it one day. You better stop what you're doing right now. And David said, thank God for his mercy. Thank God that he sent you to stop me from shedding blood. Because unless you would have come out to me this day, there would not be a male left on that ranch. People, get up and do what you can, is what God's saying. Don't be a Hindu. You know what the Hindus say? The Hindus say it's all reincarnation. It's all karma. All the evil that's around me is karma. It's all just an illusion anyway. I'm just going to ignore it all. You know what the devils tell you? Here's an occult magazine from 1895 when people were playing around with seances and listening to what the devils say. They said, I think it's grandma talking. I think our dead grandma's talking. But it was actually an evil spirit talking. And what would those evil spirits say? Let me show you. Let me show you right here. If we cease to oppose evil but treat it with indifference, it will vanish. Why did the devils want people to think that? Why did the devil say, you know what? If you just ignore evil, it'll go away. Is that true? Is that true, Church of God? That's from the serpent's mouth. That's from the Satanist. That's right out of a devil's mouth. If you cease to oppose evil, it'll vanish. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe the devil. God sometimes will say, you know what? You're slow. You're lazy. You're not listening. You're a chicken. You're a coward. Now I'm going to be merciful and grab you by the hand and pull you out of here. Thank you, God. It's kind of nice when God just takes care of everything for me and I don't got to do anything. I'll just sit back and God will take care of it. God will just sovereignly work something out where I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to make a stand. I don't got to be an Abigail. I don't have to be an Esther. I don't have to be a David and go out and cut Goliath's head off while everybody else is just sitting around wondering what we're going to do about it. I just let God take care of everything. No. There comes a time when God says, I'll take care of some things, but sometimes the title of my message, I want you to fix it. What? I want you to fix it. You want me to fix it? What are you talking about? What can I do? I'm a child. What can I do? I'm a woman. What can I do? I'm just one man. What do you mean you want me to fix it? God says, yeah, you go fix it. And while you're doing it, you remember Lot's wife. Because sometimes God does rescue people out. Sometimes God does fix it for you, doesn't he? He fixed Lot's wife. He drug her out of Sodom. Do you know that God fixed Lot's wife. He fixed it for her. He drug her out of Sodom. But he said, don't look back. And she looked back and she died that moment. See, sometimes there's something for you to do. You're to obey. You're to obey. I once heard a carnal preacher use the sovereignty of God. And he went to another man's wife and said, commit adultery with me. She goes, that would be wrong. He said, listen, is God in control of all things? She said, yes. If God's in control of all things, then he would stop us if he wanted to, right? She smiled and says, that's exactly right. I guess if God didn't want it to happen, maybe we were destined for one another. This is sovereign will of God that brought us together. Thank you for Calvinism. What a beautiful, beautiful thing Calvinism is. Thank you. We're going to go commit adultery, and if God wanted to stop us, he would. You ever heard a homosexual say, well, why do I have these feelings? If God didn't want me to be a homosexual, he'd take these feelings away, wouldn't he? Did you ever think that sometimes God wants you to fight? Did you ever think sometimes God wants you to resist evil in the proper way? To get in the way of it? You are presuming on God's restraining mercy. How dare you sit back? I dare any of us to sit back and say, if God wanted me to do something, he would make me. If God wanted me to do something, he'd send an angel to come tell me. He might just send your preacher. He might just send your preacher. He might be telling you right now. Not only that, God looks at it this way. If I've already told you in the Word, I've said it enough times. That's how God looks at it. How about this? How about this? Proverbs 29, verse 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. I didn't even know. They pretend they don't know it. That's in the Word of God. You close your eyes to something you need to do. If you know you need to do it and you turn your eyes from it, that's because you're wicked. It's the wicked people that close their eyes and say, I don't see that. Nothing I can do about it. You know what Job said? I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I break the jaws of the wicked. And I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. You know what God said? God looked down and says, he's a perfect man. God looked down and says, have you seen Job? He's a perfect man. Oh, he wasn't absolutely perfect. But I tell you what, compared to everybody else that was around, Job was perfect. What was Job doing? Job said, you're not going to hurt nobody around me. If I see something I need to do, I'm going to do it. If I see something I need to do, I'm going to do it. I already referred to you about Abigail. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I'm sorry, this is the situation of Goliath. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I said, well, it must be God's will to eat that one. Who can stop the sovereign will of God? The lions and bears have to eat too. I guess it's God's will that you get eaten today. No, David says, I went after him and I smote him and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. You know when David did that? He's a teenager. You know how David learned to slay Goliath? By learning that, you know what, I got to do what I got to do. And sometimes God wants me to fix it. So he runs after a lion. And a lot of people said, you fool, what are you doing? He says, I'm good with my sling. By the way, there is a God. And David goes and does what he has to do with whatever weapons he has. And he comes back and they say, David, you're crazy. He says, I have to keep my father's sheep. He says, well, you're not ordinary, David. That's just strange. That's why when David was told, go to your older brothers. You're not ready to fight no war, but go to older brothers and give them some cheese. And he went up there and I tell you, they said, oh, you come here just to see the battle. And he heard Goliath blaspheming God and blaspheming Israel. And he said, what? What? I'll fix it. What do you mean you'll fix it? I'll fix it. If none of you other fellows will fix it, I'll fix it right now. Why did he do that as an older lad? Because that's how he was as a younger lad. And this is my message to you fellas, male and female. You young people, start right now fixing whatever you can fix with courage and the faith of God. You start right now. And when you get older, you'll be that same person. And it will be part of your character. Your character is, I'm going to do what I can to stop it. And in faith with God, to God. Now here's the problem. You're not always going to feel equipped. You're not always going to feel equipped. Sometimes you're like David, and you says, I know I can take care of this with God because your faith is that strong. But many times you're not going to feel equipped to take care of it. You're just not going to feel equipped. Do you know there was a classroom? God forbid. We don't know what happened in those classrooms. And this is just one of dozens and dozens that have been going on. I wrote about it 20 years ago. It says, why are there school shootings? And I believe everything I said over 20 years ago applies today. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times this happens, and the fellow's allowed to reload. He just sits over there, and he's allowed to reload, and there's not a teenage boy anywhere in the classroom that'll do anything about it. And I'm not saying these little elementary school boys could have done anything about it at all. Praise God, there were some girls that crawled to some cell phones and did everything they can and says, I don't know where the police are, but I want y'all to come save us, please. He's in here. There's some people alive. Why don't you come save us? You know where the police were? They were outside waiting. Outside waiting. Just waiting for an hour. Well, we go through that door, we might get shot. He's probably done killed everybody now. Everybody's probably dead. He's probably done killed all the kids. Ain't no sense in us going through the door getting shot. Praise God that somebody was getting their hair cut and got a text from his wife, said, you got to get down there and do something. He looked around the barber shop and said, anybody got a shotgun? They gave him a shotgun. He went down there. His best friend got the same note, and he went down there. They went down, kicked a cotton-picking door down, and his best friend killed the shooter. I think they were Border Patrol agents. Praise God for them. Praise God for them. I don't understand. Why don't you do what you can do? You're getting tired of hearing about it. I'm a saved sinner. I am a saved sinner, and I am ashamed for the things that I've done before I was saved. I'm ashamed of it. But I want you little boys to know you can do something. You've heard of it more than you care to hear about it. But when I was in third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, they were busting in people from some really bad neighborhoods. And it wasn't just them boys that were doing it. And back then, I don't know why, but the teachers would leave. And they would leave, and they would go somewhere, and they would tell the other teachers down the hall to do something, to come over and check on us now. And they would leave every single day, them girls, to just sit there and be molested. The smallest boy in the class. And I'm telling you, I am not lying. I'm not exaggerating the truth. Not at all. I would sit there and wait and wait and wait. Not a single boy would stand up and do anything about it. So I would throw my pencil down and get up and take care of it. Sometimes I could whoop them when they were little. Sometimes I couldn't whoop them. But I'm going to tell you what, I would stand until that teacher got back. And it got to be such a common thing in third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade that the classroom would shout, Joey, 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 Joey. And I'd be like, where in the world are the other kids? I never told my mama, I never told my dad, never told my grandmother, never told anybody in my family. You know why? Because I didn't think it was some great thing. It's when I'm an adult, I look back and I don't think it's a great thing, but I said, I did what I can. I did what I can, Church of God. I didn't tell anybody because it was just as normal as anything. It's just as normal. What'd you do today in school? Oh, nothing. Got in some fights, did what I got to do. It wasn't some big thing. A girl's mother came over and thanked me for it. A thank you for protecting my daughter. Hey, I don't know if that's protecting. I did what I can. I did what I can, and I'll do it every single day. Got to ninth grade, changed school districts. 15 years old. Jocks, wrestlers, everything you could imagine. A girl named Mary was getting molested by one of the tallest boys in the school. I sit here and look around the classroom. I'm at the cafeteria. I look around. Not a single boy does anything. She hollers out, leave me alone. Quit touching me. Not a single person in the cafeteria. I said, God, why do I have to keep doing this? I don't understand it. I'm not a big fella. I walked over, and I tell you, with no exaggeration, I hit him one time, and the fight was over. And I wasn't a very rich fella. We lived in apartments when everybody lived at the lake in these beautiful houses. And I remember she said, thank you, Joey. I said, she knows my name. That's amazing. She knows my name. That was the best reward she could have ever given me. She knows my name. What did I do? I did what I can. I did what I could. But what I'm always amazed at is, where's everybody else? So I started getting into the Bible everywhere I went. 1989, 1990, everywhere I went, they're talking about psychology, psychobabble, false doctrine. I'm like, well, I know the preacher's going to stand up and do something about this. Because I'm going to be a rock and roll guitar player. It'll be Christian rock and roll, but I'm going to be a Christian rock and roll guitar player. That's my job. I'm going to sit over here and be quiet. Why don't somebody do something? Why don't somebody do something? You know what? It's almost as if I heard God said, why don't you go do something? I said, God, not again. You want me to pop him in the mouth? No. God said, don't go pop him in the mouth, son. No. Go do something. Stand up and preach. I was like, well, God, of all the things, you know, that's something I don't do. But one day, I got so full of zeal, so full of fire in my soul, I said, I don't care about being shy. I don't care about anything. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to rebuke this false doctrine. In 2 years after I was saved, I was a preacher. In 2 years after I was saved. See, what God's looking for, he might not call you to preach. He might not call you to be a sheriff. He might not call you to be a border patrol or a fireman. But I'm going to tell you, what God will do is he will use any vessel that will be willing to go do what you can do. And yes, you're going to say, I don't feel that I'm the one that needs to be doing anything about this. Is that for you to decide? You might be the only one willing. You might be the only one with the fire to go do it. David killed Goliath because he was already, as a young teen, killing bears and lions. You understand that? You're living in a generation that says, just go with the flow. Dare to be a Job. Dare to be a David. Dare to be a Gideon. Dare to be an Abigail. Dare to be an Esther. Dare to be a Deborah. Why do you sit back and allow evil to prosper without a fight? Why do you leave your fellow soldiers alone? Why do you leave them alone in the battle? I'm praying for you, brother. I'm standing behind you. Way behind you, but I'm standing behind you. Happy Memorial Day to you. Praise God for some people that shed their blood to give you this country and give you the liberties that you have today. Few scriptures and I close. Thank you. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, Gideon. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Go take care of it. He said, what? Why are you calling me a mighty man of valor? You know what God could say? Because nobody's out taking care of their crops right now. Because the Midianites come and steal it. But you're the only one that's out in the woods right now hiding grain from the Midianites so you could feed your family, knowing that you'll be executed if they see you. You've got courage, Gideon. You don't think you have enough, but with my ability, you and I can go save Israel. You know, after a while, old Gideon, he got the hang of it. He said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. He went out and took care of business, didn't he? Woo, amen. How about the sword of the Lord and the sword of Josiah, the sword of Siana, the sword of Nathan, the sword of Abby? I can go on and on and on, but you get the point. You get the point. Headline news just the other day, please help me. Heartbreaking moment. Woman pleads with fellow New York City subway passengers to intervene as a thug randomly assaults her, but they all walk away. You never know what you'll do in situations. I just don't think I'd walk away. I don't think many of you would walk away. But this is the world you're living in right now. There's a lot of sheep. Not everybody's a sheepdog. But you know, my question, where are the rams at? You say, I'm not a sheepdog. Well, I know, but I thought you were a ram at least. I thought you were male. You know, somebody took one of them AKs in West Virginia yesterday or so. And they went into this big party and started firing. A woman took out her pistol and took him down. Police came, patted her on the back and said, you saved a lot of lives. She said, thank you. Matthew 14, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. The disciples said, Jesus, you need to send everybody away so they can go get some food. It's getting late. They don't have anything to eat. They're starving. The Lord says, go give them something to eat. Go give them something to eat. Go take care of it. How can I take care of it? The Lord says, you and me together, we'll go take care of it. I just need somebody willing. I need somebody willing. I said, all right, Lord. Just got a few fish, a little bit of bread here. Make the people sit down and start giving it to them. The Lord began to multiply it. See, you give them something to eat. Sometimes you say, there's a problem here. I don't know how God's going to take care of it. God says, you're going to fix it. You're going to fix it. How can I fix it? Go try. Amazing things can happen if you try. Do what you can. And have a lot of faith. Do what you can. Have a lot of faith. Because God says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, is there not a spiritual slaying as well as a physical? If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? The context of rendering to you according to your works is you looking at evil and doing nothing about it. You looking at somebody in need that needs your help and you do nothing about it. Wow. Psalms 82. Deliver the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Esther 4. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance. Arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Oh, Malachi says, how do you know? You're not where you are right now, so you can take care of it. Esther says, what can I do? If I appear before the king without him calling me, he can execute me. Mordecai says, you hold your peace right now. God will bring deliverance some other way, but you'll have judgment. And how do you know? You think you're the queen right now. How do you know God didn't make you queen for this very moment? Esther says, fast. Fast and pray. I'm going to go take care of business. And she did. And praise God, Abigail made haste. Oh, Abigail, what can I do against a great warrior David? She made haste. She says, I'll go do what I can. I'll go make him some cornbread and biscuits. I'll do something. I'll do something. Woo! Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Let us do what we can, God. And sometimes, Father, you look down upon us and say, you go fix it. You give them something to eat. You go take care of this. Lord, let us do what we can. Let us have the zeal, the fire in us. Let us have the desire and love in us. Let us have that zeal for your house, God. Oh, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we would love people and not just sit back passive and idle and allow devils and wickedness and evil to prosper as we do nothing. Thank you, Lord, that the triumphing of the wicked is short. But Lord, let us do what we can to get in the way of it, to help people in the Lord, to grow, and help people physically. In Jesus' holy name, amen.